I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
To get that proper feeling was probably 4 or 5 days after we'd moved in.
Even like the first groceries, and the fridge was full of food.
Yeah.
And to think, oh my God, this is where I'm going to cook now. Like, this is it.
Welcome to the next episode of the Get In Our Home series. This is the series designed to help home builders, homeowners and renovators to get inspiration and guidance from industry professionals and also homeowners themselves. My name is Peter Martin, and in this episode, we travel to County Meath to meet Maureen and William and their stunning newly built home. In this episode, we cover getting plan permission, going the direct builder-architect route, choosing the right site, building during COVID, interior design tips and lots more. The house is an absolute credit to the guys, and with Maureen's eye for detail, it's full of stunning little pieces and gold touches everywhere. So don't forget, you can also see this home in all its glory on the Get In Our Home YouTube channel. So I started by asking the guys about why they chose this site.
So basically building in Summerhill. My parents live right across the garden there, so I've never really lived anywhere else. So when we were looking at building, it came down to three sites. They're all kind of within the family, so I was buying them off my grandmother, and we just decided to go with this site because it was next to my family. It was also kind of the easiest in some ways, because the other ones, there was issues with a river beside it, things like that.
But right.
We're happy enough with this one because it's actually, we're pretty central in terms of the village.
It's right in the village, so everything is walking distance. The school, the doctors, the pharmacy, the groceries, everything. And that was my thing as well, because I'm coming from the city. So going into the countryside for me was like, oh my God, like I have to drive everywhere. So this was a big selling point to us as well, to be able to walk.
And to still be so close.
And
like, were you always gung-ho or set on building a house, or did you ever look at buying? Or
no, it was always building. For William, it was always building.
I was always building.
Why was that?
I don't know. I liked the idea of kind of putting, like, I knew what I liked in terms of a house. I liked the idea of putting that into my house, and now we made changes. When we sat down and actually went through everything, we had to make compromises, but it was something I thought about for a while, like how I wanted my house, and I'd be driving past looking at houses going, yeah, I like that, and I like that. And it was just something the thoughts of buying a house and trying to renovate it didn't really interest me. I just always wanted to start from scratch and build what we wanted.
Yeah, okay, so take me through the process. So how did you guys meet, and what's the story, and what led you to, you're smiling like crazy there, like, what led you to deciding to build a house together?
Because we love each other. We met at work, and it's love at first sight, and I was living in Dublin, it was really expensive, and...
I'm sorry, you're originally from?
I'm from France, from Paris. So
what a big change from
Paris to bloody
Summer Hill.
She made the right choice.
It's not about where you live, it's about the people that you live with and that are around you, your community, I guess. And that's what I fell in love when I came here, and like how everyone knows each other. And I felt there was really a community, and that's why I came for Ireland, because I thought the people were so lovely, and I got that here. And then as we got further in our relationship, we obviously wanted to settle, and I think for William, it was always a known factor that he was going to build, like, near his family. And
he'd always spoke to you about building them.
Oh my God, yeah. and all of his friends built houses. So it was never a question of, like, buying a house. And for me, it didn't really matter because to be honest, I don't really care. Like, as long as I had a roof over my head, yeah. So, we just made the decision one day to go and build. Yeah. And
I suppose you were lucky enough, William, in the sense that your family had some land that made it quite affordable to get a site. And
yeah.
We got really lucky, yeah.
So when we had spent a while, Maureen had moved out of Dublin, we'd spent a while living in my parents' house. And we just kind of at the point where we were like, do you know what, we may get a start on this. This could be a long process. So I went down, spoke to my granny, spoke to my uncle, and pretty much had a choice of three sites. And this was the one that we wanted to go with. So then it was, once we had the site, it was just we went straight to the architect and to make sure that the site was actually feasible as an option, because some sites you just won't get planning on. So we went in and arranged a meeting. Kind of just got the ball rolling from there.
He advised that out of the three sites, also this was the best one
to
build a house. So we gave him the three sites and told him, like, to help us decide, because as much as we wanted this one, we also wanted to be sure that was the one where we would get the best chance, like, of having planning permission and all that. So
take me through that. So okay, you're building a house, it's all decided. How did you find the architect, or like, was it a recommendation or?
It was a recommendation. It was actually another architect close by. When I rang him, he told me that there was like 5-6 month waiting list before we'd even get a meeting with him. So we didn't really want to be hanging around.
No.
And this was just a friend of mine who didn't use this architect but had heard about him, and I just got his number and rang up, and we had a meeting within a week and went in, gave him the three sites. He came out, checked the three sites, and he said that this one was probably the best option to go with, and this was our first choice anyway. So yeah, we then just sat down and got deciding on plans for a house.
That was a long process.
Yeah.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about that. So, how did you go about designing the house? Like, I always think it's really interesting when you approach an architect. Like, what do you, like, is it kind of like you have your cards behind your chest and you don't tell them what you want? Or did you go in and say, I need this?
No, we did that. So, I knew what I wanted. I guess more than you did. And we went in and we said, well, I said I want a walk-in wardrobe. If I was to design my house, I want a walk-in wardrobe. And
but the architect's like, okay, that's pretty easy.
That was first.
We can actually do that.
Yeah, but I wanted then the master bedroom to be working around it, and I wanted something of a nice size, and like I knew I was it's probably more luxurious and we don't need it, but I think that's really what I wanted. And you really wanted a second living room and an open area.
Yeah.
And I think the architect then worked around it. We also were kind of like insisting on the fact that we want a family and we want to have kids. So we want a house that's going to be able to have a family, like kids.
And adapt, I suppose.
Like, and adapt, like across the years. And then the other factor that was really important to me was that obviously my family is French, so I wanted to be able to have always a room and a bathroom for them in the house that they could come whenever they wanted and they would be able to sleep in the house, like they wouldn't have to go to a hotel or anything like that.
Yeah.
So from then, I think then the architect drew a first house, and after a few meetings, William and I weren't too keen about it.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad, but it just wasn't what we wanted. Like, there was like the rooms that we asked, but it just wasn't, we weren't in love with the design anyway. So what I did then is I drew what I thought I wanted and I sent it to the architect. Obviously, I thought it was great at the time. It wasn't. when the architect seen the plans, he was like, no, that's not going to work. And I was like, oh. So obviously, I'm not an architect. But I think from then, he was like, okay, no, that he understood more what we were looking for.
He got a better idea of what we were looking for.
Yeah. And like what was it, like late in one evening?
Yeah, it was like close to 12 o'clock one night. Yeah. Just got an email on the phone with new plans. And
we both look at it and I think we fell in love with it. Straight away
we
were like,
that's what we want. But it kind of took us to completely scrap his original one for him to come to the new plan that we wanted. Yeah. Like, even though
it was nearly a process for
him. And I think it's important that you do sit down. It was one thing a friend of mine said, like, when you get your plans, like, go out to your site and visualize the room you're in the site you're on and what it's going to feel like. Mm-hmm. And you do have to spend time, like, because the first house he drew, he ticked all the boxes we wanted. He had the big walk-in wardrobe, he had the kitchen living area, he had the second sitting room, he had all these things, but it just wasn't what we were looking for.
We weren't wowed. Like,
You need to, especially if you're going to an accident, you need to fall in love with it. You really do,
The way we've seen it is like, we're only going to do this once, hopefully. So we want to get it right.
We're only going to do this once.
That was a long process, but it was definitely worth it to take time and to challenge our architect almost as much as he challenged us.
There was things like just, you know, probably standard things for him that we, like the way doors open, like, you know, the way the room flows from one room, the house flows from one room to another, like things that for us we didn't think was important, but it actually is important. Yeah. And so he was pushing those things on us, and then we were kind of sticking with what we wanted and forcing him to adapt. So I think it all came together well.
But
it definitely is, it's a process, like, and you kind of have to keep probing at it until you find what you actually want.
It's really interesting. Like, I think it's so unique in the sense that you only do this once. You know, so it's nearly a little bit scary, you're so conscious of getting it right. Okay, so you get the design and you're really happy with it and you submit for planning. How did planning go with Meath County Council?
So it was long. We put it in first and we thought everything was great, and it was actually the day before or the weekend before we were due our decision, like, because you can track it online, and we got notification that it was refused because the date in our site notice was wrong. It was actually the wrong year altogether.
That was just a mistake.
A mistake, but we just didn't cop it. And then they said, because we lived down a lane, they said that the site notice at the top of the lane was invisible to the public.
Oh, no.
Which, like, it was, to be honest, but
they
said it wasn't, so we had to move that.
Such a minute detail, but
stuff that I kind of wish they didn't wait until 2 days before we were due to get the decision to tell us, like, but because it's just eating into your time, really.
So then did you have to resubmit?
We had to resubmit, go again. And then the second time we...
It wasn't refused, but we got asked further information about the landscaping. And there was a few other things about, I think, the gates.
There was moving the gates back off the edge of the lane so that it was visible either side. We had to give them a landscaping plan, just things like that. But I think everyone kind of says once you get further information, you have planning. You just have to provide further information.
We did that. It was just a matter of time.
And what sort of contribution fee did they ask for then?
Sorry?
What contribution fee did they ask for?
It was, so it's 8,000, 8,100, I think, if you pay it in one go, or 9,000 if you pay it over installments.
Wow. Mm. Wow, that's one of the highest ones I've heard, actually. Yeah. Yeah, that's really high.
It's a
big hit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a big hit, especially at the start when you're trying to get together your savings for your mortgage, you're trying to pay for a site, you're paying architect fees, solicitor fees.
Yeah.
You're paying transfer of the land.
Yeah, transfer of the land, like whatever tax you're paying on it, it's all adding up, a nice lump sum to be hit with.
Okay, and then talk to me about getting planning. Did you ever consider the self-build route, or was it always you were going to tender for a builder? What was the thought process there?
We asked ourselves a few times, should we do the self-build? We were interested in it, but I think neither of us has the time and nor the knowledge. And at the time, none of our friends really went down that route.
Yeah.
And so we would have had no one to not rely on, but even ask for advice or... Yeah, ask questions about it, and to be honest, the biggest factor was work. Like, we work mad hours as it is, so I don't know when we would have been able to
look at the
house. I'm sure we would have made a bit of a saving had we gone that route.
Yeah,
but I think for us, it wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
Worth the time.
One thing we always say in the interviews, especially when we're on couples, is like, if you had just counted up the time that you were working as opposed to spending on self-build, you probably would have earned more working than you would have saved on the self-build.
Yeah.
So it probably made more financial sense.
Yeah.
And then you have the older side of things, which is headspace, you know, that you're actually not stressed to the night, you know?
That was the big thing for me was, at the time we were, like, there was no COVID, so we were up in our office in Dublin, and it was the thoughts of getting a phone call from some contractor saying, I'm here to do this, but whatever was needed to be done beforehand wasn't done, and I'm sitting in the office not really knowing what he's talking about, going, okay, I'm not sure, you'll have to come back another day, and everyone just getting dragged on and dragged on. So that was the big thing for me, was that I wasn't around, or like neither of us would be around, and I just didn't have the knowledge, every single day, and you need
to be on the phone, and you need to be able to take a phone call at any stage.
You need to be able to come every day and make sure everything is being done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, because you're so the one organized. That's linking all the different suppliers and all that. So
So you went with a builder in the end. How did that go for you? How did you find the builder? Was it a recommendation again, or local? Or?
It's actually from the village. So
I was a local guy at the village who, he actually came up to me and asked, could he tender for the house? And I would have asked him anyway, but I was like, yeah, no problem. So we sent out, like, it wasn't that we just went to him, we sent out to, I think we sent out to 10 builders.
Yeah.
And some we didn't hear back from.
Some were recommended by the architect as well.
Yeah.
And
some of them were,
yeah,
like,
the
fees were out.
The,
like,
difference between,
to be honest,
the builders, one of them was almost twice as much as the cheapest.
Yeah.
And that's how like mad the difference in quotes we got. Like, it was just ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I know that one of them was told by the architect that if he wants to get a job, he's going to have to rethink his pricing because it was just so high. But we went with a local guy that I've known for years, like, and to be fair to him, like, he came at the start and he actually gave us some great savings at the start. And it came down to him and another builder, and I remember in the meeting with the architect, with the two builders, Maureen asked the second builder, like, is there any tips, like, or any ways we could save money?
Yeah, and apart from, like, telling us that, oh, maybe don't do the painting in the house, which is, that's not what we're looking for. We were looking for in terms of, like, the actual design of the house.
It was kind of just like, well, if you don't do the stone outside, it's cheaper. It's kind of like, well, I know that.
You were looking for more in-depth.
Whereas the builder we went with gave us two or three great tips, like, that we saved money. Like, we ended up with a bigger garage because of them. Like, so.
So, like, one of them, for example, was the attic. So instead of building an attic in our main house, we actually built the attic into the garage. We made the garage slightly bigger. And because it changed the structure of the roof, it worked out actually cheaper.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
So.
And that was his tip?
Yeah.
That was his tip. Oh, yeah. Like, the structure of this roof.
That's something you wouldn't even really think about, wouldn't you?
No.
Not at all. The structure of this roof as well, he changed.
Yeah, so he removed steel in the vaulted ceiling, and we went with a truss roof.
Yeah.
And that saved us, because our steel bill, because of just the design of our house, we've quite a bit of steel in it, and our steel bill was quite expensive, so he recommended this, and our architect said, yeah, once you've the certs,
that's
no
fine.
Problem at all. So, like, no, like, we were happy with our builder. Like, we were happy.
Would you have any advice for somebody getting quotes from different builders? Was there anything that you did, or was there anything that you would recommend people don't do or do?
No, the one thing I'd say is get as detailed a breakdown as possible.
Did you get a bill of quantities from your architect to send to the builders?
Yeah, so we got the tender pack from the architect, and that was sent out. But like some of them, just depending on the builder, like some of them might give you 5 stages of the house broken out with a fee beside them, whereas others will break it out by detail. You'll have blocks, you'll have like plastering, you'll have internal joinery.
That's what you want.
You'll have first fix and electric, second fix and electric, first fix plumbing. Like you want that detail that you can see. Okay, that's where my money is going. Like.
Yeah, and then you can, and then it's like probably really easy to compare.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's charging me X for this, and he's charging me X for this.
Yeah.
So we can see the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. That was it. Like some of the quotes we got back, we couldn't really compare them to other quotes apart from the end figure because we didn't know what we were paying for. Like.
Yeah.
But that would be the one thing is I'd get as many quotes as you can, and I'd get as detailed a breakout
detailed
as possible.
Quotes. Yeah. Yeah. How did you find the build process then? How involved were you when the builder was there? Was he ringing you every day? Was it like, you know, did you have to get the tradesmen, or did he source everybody? How did that dynamic work?
So he's a local builder, but he uses mostly local lads. So like, to be honest, I knew, I'd say everyone by the stonemasons.
Right,
I knew them all. Like, so it was fine. He did say that if we wanted to get our own like electrician, our own plumber, our own.
Oh well,
it was up to us.
That would sound, because some builders don't allow that.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. No, like he was flexible because he kind of knew that if we did that, it would probably just be another local guy that we'd use. So I was happy enough to go with who he had. I just thought it'd be easier. Like these are guys he works with all the time. Like they're probably doing other jobs for him, so he can. It's easier for them to work around coming from one job to come to our job to go back to another job. I just said no. Like you can fire ahead and use what you want.
I think in terms of involvement, we became way more involved at the end because I think it all depends in the terms of finish that you agree to with your builder, and the finish that we agreed was like not a fully finished house. So in terms of the painting or, for example, the tiles and like some of the bathroom things, we had to search ourselves. And so that all was down at the end of the build.
So that brought you more involved.
We were pretty much down the house every day and because then we became the ones having to make sure that these people were doing the job. But at the beginning it was fairly easy because he was managing the whole build.
Apart from
coming and seeing it just to see it, we had nothing really to do, which was great. Apart from like maybe going one of the days and seeing windows and deciding on like doors.
Yeah.
But they were like the easy jobs. They weren't stressful jobs as such.
Did you find it hard at the start to imagine the house, like when you were coming to site and stuff? Was it hard to visualize?
Yeah.
Like it was funny because when the floor was poured, we were looking at it and we were like, this is going to be so small. And we were going into the guest bathroom and we were like, well, the shower is never going to fit in there. Like, this is ridiculous. We were so stressed that the house was going to be tiny. And then the blocks went up and we were like, well, this area is not going to be able to fit couches. Like, we were panicking. We were like drawing the couch on the floor and we were like,
it's not going to work.
And then finally when the house was plastered, we were like, Jesus, it's massive. And then the kitchen went and the couch went and we were like, it's actually so empty in here. Like, it's ridiculous. You don't realize until like you've the walls are white and the floor is down. Like, actually, it's hard to visualize.
It's hard to grasp the size of each room. Like, I've been warned about that. Like you'll go through phases where you think it's big, you think it's small, depending on whether you're looking at the concrete block, whether you're looking at wet plaster, dry plaster, paint. It's hard to get a grasp of how big or small a room is. It'll just vary throughout the build. Like, and it was really only at the end that we really kind of looked and went, oh yeah, okay, that's the size. Like, even drawn, like you're buying couches or you're buying things and you're looking at the measurements on a site and you're trying to draw them on the ground, like it's hard to get a feel for
it. Yeah, it's also, as I said, like it's also quite daunting then because you're thinking, well, what if I don't, you know, and you're questioning everything then, you know, it's a funny one. And like, so throughout the middle, and you were coming and you were kind of watching it, monitoring it and whatever, was there any like real hiccups? Was there anything that sticks out to you and was like, was a big mistake or a big problem that was made?
Like there's always different things throughout the build. Like initially, one of the things was the kind of orientation of the house. Like I actually thought it would be turned slightly more. Like we've a big window in our kitchen living area, and I actually thought it would be facing more downfield, whereas right now it's kind of just facing straight at my parents' house. That was probably one of the things at the start when the foundations were poured. I was like, oh, I didn't realise that was going to be facing that way. Now, obviously, we're happy with the way it is, but there's always things as you're going through, like Velux windows kind of not in the right spot, or they're not, say, spaced out as much, and you're kind of looking, going, that doesn't look right. But a lot of it are things that I know, or Maureen knows, because we're looking at the plans, but people looking at the house now don't even realise.
Yeah, because there's other things that you think about, but nobody else realises. Okay, so what was the hardest day of the build?
For me, definitely the hardest day was the lockdowns, when you're seeing the site closed and there's no work being done and you don't know, like, initially.
Yeah, so like, what happened there? So you're building away, what stage were you at? What happened?
Were the blocks going up? So I think it was right before windows, because it took ages for us to receive the windows. Yeah. And that was all because of COVID.
And just materials being slowed down. And like initially.
In terms of materials, we got actually lucky, because our builder had bought them in advance, knowing that they might be locked down.
He was good in that way, like he planned.
It was more like the workers couldn't come work because it wasn't allowed. Yeah. So like, we were just stuck because no one could put windows or no one could plaster the house.
Yeah.
It was just...
And you're kind of, like, initially it was supposed to be a 9-month build and turned into like a 16-month build. You're kind of like, you just don't know when it's going to get going. You're renting somewhere else. You're like, oh, geez, how long am I going to be renting this? It's tough when the house is moving and then all of a sudden it stops and you don't see any progress. That's kind of one of the hardest things throughout the build, is when you come down, even if it's just one day, you come down and you don't see anything new. You're like, oh, what was done today, or nothing was done today.
Yeah.
Things like that, but that
it
was
be very slow, like,
but then COVID, obviously for everyone, it made life harder, but yeah, it was, that was probably the worst, was just seeing the down days.
COVID for like 9 months, 6, 7, 8,
pretty much.
And then the other side of it was towards the end, the kind of the latter lockdowns, you were hearing stories like, oh, one-off bills are allowed to keep going, or if you reached a certain point in your build, you're allowed to keep going. And there was things like that where, like, oh, only one trade person is allowed on site at a time. So you're trying to manage between, okay, a plumber is coming today, so the electrician can't come. The electrician's going to come tomorrow, so the plumber can't be there. It became a lot more difficult, and it just draws out the process as well.
So when you got to a finished stage, when did you decide to, like, was there a, like, when was it like, right, we're moving in, you know, when, like, when
right
was
away.
It finished, like, you know?
It was finished right away. Yeah. So I think the tiles were done, and then we pretty much, we were just waiting on bathrooms to be finished.
Okay. Yeah.
So as soon as the bathrooms were done, and everything else, like the floors were done, the doors were done.
Yeah, the kitchen.
The kitchen was on. Yeah.
The last thing to be done was the hanging of the doors.
Yeah.
So it was like
architrave doors.
Yeah, there was a weekend where our tiler worked all weekend to get the tiles down, so that the kitchen guys could come in on the Monday to hang to put the kitchen in and do the wardrobes upstairs. But then that also coincided with the guys doing the stairs, so we had to plan that, say, Monday, Tuesday, the kitchen guys were up doing the wardrobes upstairs, so that on Wednesday the stairs guys could remove the temporary stairs and start building the proper stairs, so they could come downstairs to the kitchen. So it was, there was probably about 2 weeks where, like, it was just frantic, like there was guys coming and going everywhere. But kind of at the end of those 2 weeks, everything was kind of done, and it kind of came at us quick in a sense that we were like, oh, we actually could be ready to move in, and then it was just all hands on deck to try and clean the place.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't, like, it's still not fully finished. Like, there is still a bit of paint here and there, like, around the architrave and the curtain boards that needs to be done, but I think we were happy to move in, and there are things that can be done along the way.
Yeah, when you dig it in.
Yeah. And I think we were living at the time in a very small granny flat, and it was comfy and all that, but with the baby, we were just really looking forward to, like, having our own space and our own bedrooms and all that. So
to have a designated area for things like in the granny flat, it was like the kitchen was the living room, was the sitting room, was the office, was the nursery. Whereas now we have an area for each of them.
And you're both working from home.
Yeah.
So that's quite tough as well then to be in the new home, and straight away it's like an office.
Yeah.
It was actually fine because we each have our room, our office, so it, like, we don't have to see each other all day.
It was tough at the start, I found, just after we moved in, because we were working from home, and then we were going straight from working from home to trying to furnish the house. So it was like doing panelling, it was hanging curtains, it was hanging blinds.
Never a rest.
Cleaning tiles, it just never stopped. Whereas I suppose if you were in the office, you'd have 3 hour round trip commute to kind of relax. Whereas you didn't really get it.
Kind of
going straight from one to the other.
And
I found at the start, I know I said to Maureen a few times, like, we need to just sit down and enjoy the house. But I'm glad now that we didn't, because it is almost finished. A lot of it is furnished, and now we can properly sit down and enjoy the house.
When I first came in here today and you told me you were only here 3 or 4 months, I couldn't believe it. Like, genuinely, the house looks so much more complete than for somebody that's only been in a couple of months. Yeah. You know, you nearly feel it. If you opened the shop, you were here 2-3 years. No, honestly, like, it's just
That's all marine.
So moving into that then, getting the house to a really high finish stage, like, what strikes me about this house is, number one, it's really uniform up and downstairs. It has the same kind of feel and theme to it, and we mentioned the gold off camera, but tell me a little bit about that, or how did you decide that, or what was the plan there?
So, it really started with the kitchen. So when the kitchen was installed, there wasn't any handles yet, and we had planned for black handles. Mm-hmm. But I think from my point of view was, a couple of best friends had, like, their kitchen made by the same kitchen guys, and I was just thinking, oh my God, like, our kitchen's going to look the same, and, like, it's not fair on them because they start first and we're copying the whole house. Like, so I was trying to think how to make it a little bit different, and I had come across a few, like, Instagram where their kitchen had, like, gold handles, and I was like, oh, I think we should try that. Yeah. So I talked to you about it, and you seemed keen, which I was pretty impressed because I didn't think he would ever want anything gold. And from there, I went to the kitchen guy one of the day, and I was, like, so embarrassed because I thought he was going to be like, it's too late, like, it's like the kitchen is done. Like, and I told him I really would love gold handles, and he was telling us that it wasn't really going to work with the colors and all that. But I kind of insisted, and I was like, no, I really think it's going to work. So he ordered them anyway, he installed them, and we all looked at it and we were like, oh my God, it really works. Like, it's amazing. So then from there, it was like, I need to, like, make the rest of the house tie with this. Yeah. So it was like, let's start with, like, the lights. So we went with, like, gold lights to kind of make it all tie with the gold handles. And then we went with, like, a pen light that was in the gold and brass tones. And then we just added bits and pieces.
Handles here and there.
Yeah, that was, like, in the same, like, gold and brassy tones. And I think
That's
made
really
it
good
all
advice, actually, to build from the kitchen out.
Yeah. It made it all tie and go together. And then
it kind of happened accidentally, but it probably is good advice to start with the kitchen. That's the room you're going to spend most of your time in.
Yeah.
But
I think, I think from there, like, it all made sense, like, what style we were going to go for. Because I think before that, we really thought we were going to do something like a farmhouse style, so more of a traditional. And I think that changed everything. Like, from there, we were like, oh, so it's going to be farm style, but it's going to be modern. And I think I fell in love with that because I was just afraid of having it completely wrong if I had gone for farm style, because it's known to be a bit more expensive, even like furniture and all that. So by adding a bit more of a modern vibe, I think you can find even more of a diverse range of furniture, and it's not as expensive. So yeah, no, that's even the whole story.
Like, what strikes me is like your bathrooms and like your snug and everything. Like, you walk in and it's like literally picture perfect down to the mat and the little like comfort mini table stuff. Like, how, like when you were buying stuff, how did you do that? Like, were you just like thinking, oh, that could work there, that could work there? Or did you have a picture in your mind of each room and you just bought everything for that single room?
No, I actually made mood boards.
Okay.
So I used the app Canvas and I started with a blank page and I was like, okay, so I like this furniture, I like this table. And then I was like, okay, what chair could go with that table? And I searched like different websites, and then I seen a chair that I liked, but it was too expensive. So I like browsed even more, and like I made a list of like different shops that I knew in Ireland that I liked. And I was looking like at different options, and I was weighing the pros and cons, and should I spend a little bit more money and get these type of chairs or not? And like by putting everything together in a page, then I could really see like what a room would look like. And I think that's how we really made it.
I'm sure
we made it work.
William was a great help.
Help. I'm a dab hand at
the moment. I know, you, like, I was just putting them together. With the
end product. Yes, yeah. So, like, yeah.
I'm like, yes, like, you can buy that.
No, yes. I think that's what...
No, it's just hours of research is what Marine did. Like, it really was non-stop. Every evening was just, okay... Marine had a fear of coming into the house and having empty rooms with nothing in them.
But I think that was my biggest fear. Was like, we'd have this lovely big house and then we'd move in, but it wouldn't be a home yet. And I knew we were going to come with our daughter, Alva.
Yeah.
And I just wanted it to be comfortable for us as a family and being able to like relax on the couch in the evening. And you know yourself, like, a couch could take like 5 to 6 months to come, and some shops are even worse. Like, it could take a year to make a couch. So like our table took about 5 months to get.
Wow.
The couch in the small
sitting
room.
So if you hadn't planned that earlier, yeah,
we would have waited till next year to get anything ready. Even more so now because it's the end of COVID. So like, I think everyone is getting back into
demand.
The demand is way higher, so like it's harder to get anything. So I really pushed that during the build, like from the start of the build, really, we made a list of things we needed to get and we bought things along the way. So like our garage and your parents' house was full
of boxes.
Of furniture and decoration and all that. I think they were so glad when we finally moved in. They gained like two rooms.
Yeah. It's like you got an extension in the house now.
And just in terms of like, I know somebody's going to ask this, where did you get most of the furniture? Was it all over the place? Or
it's all over the place. I was afraid if I got everything from one shop it wouldn't look original and that it was too like obvious. So we got from everywhere. We got from Diamond Furniture. I'm looking at the table there, so that's the first thing that comes to my mind. We got from Easy Living Furniture. We got from DFS for couches, lamps and lights, pot furniture, Easy Living. I said that the other one, there's Easy Living Furniture
interiors.
And Easy Living Interiors.
Okay, yeah.
So it's really
a real mix.
Yeah, there's IKEA, there's
literally
everything. Like,
you were even telling me earlier off camera about some of the presses that were IKEA presses that you kind of upstyled nearly.
Yeah, so like there's obviously towards the end when I got the big pieces of furniture, so like our dining table and our couches, and the smaller stuff we worked with a smaller budget, and so we were like, okay, we'll make a compromise, we'll buy from IKEA, which they're a lovely piece of furniture, they're probably not the color we wanted. So what I did is just I sanded everything and I painted it the way I wanted, changed the handles, and it's really things that doesn't doesn't cost a lot of money, but they're going to make them look completely different.
Yeah.
And now I think they look very expensive. No. They look class.
Very
and
luxurious.
Yeah. And it costs nothing. It's just a little bit of time, I guess.
Yeah. It just ties into the theme of the room. Like, yeah. It makes it easier because you're not stressing about trying to find that perfect piece when you can buy kind of a standard piece and then upstyle it or change it to suit your team or your room.
Mm. Yeah. What is your favorite part of the home?
Oh, that's a hard question. I think my favorite part to look at, it's probably this room because it's so bright. Mm. And I think no matter what the moment of the day, especially when the sun is shining, it just looks amazing. In the evening, the sun would flow right to the end of the small sitting room, which is just amazing. Like you get such like a yellow light. It shines all over the kitchen. It comes through like the velixes and the apex window. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
But I really like the snug room as well. I just think it's so comfy and so lovely to sit there in the evening with a cup of tea and a movie, and you just like all the kind of like neutral warm tones make you feel like homely. And
I'm laughing because she didn't want that room at the start. That was my room, and now it's been converted into her room.
Would you agree this is your favorite place?
I think my favorite part of the house is sitting at the island. I like sitting at the island looking out the big apex window. I think that's my favorite.
If you were to go back and do that again, would there be anything that you might change?
Yeah.
So I think, like, I'm happy with the design of our house, don't get me wrong. Like, I love our house. It's brilliant.
No, it's not that. But it's just that, you know, there's always things that you might have changed, done better or whatever.
The utility room, I would have gone for something bigger. And
why?
Because at the minute, it's just this, it's more like of a back hall, and we have everything we need. So we have like our bush area where we can see it and change our shoes. We have like the washing machine and tumble dryer. Yeah. The heat recovery system is there, and there's a freezer. So it has everything, but there's no place, for example, to hang your clothes and let them dry. So that means that they have to dry in one of the rooms in the house, which is not lovely to look at. Mm. And the day where all the bedrooms are a kid's bedroom, and like I've nowhere to push to hang my clothes if it's raining outside.
Mm.
So that is a bit annoying to me, and I kind of wish we had allowed for
thinking more about the utilities.
Yeah,
because I think it's a really important room in the house. And
we spoke to a builder before, and he said to me, "You can never make the utility big enough."
I think that's
we were warned. Like numerous people told us when we were planning our house. Yeah. Put in a big utility room, and we were like, but we wanted other parts of the house being bigger while keeping the footprint of the house at a certain size for price.
Yeah, sorry, I meant to ask, what square foot is this house?
So it is just over 2,500 square feet. So that was pretty much our limit, like, because we were kind of working off a set price per square foot. So to get the other room slightly bigger, we compromised on the utility room, which, looking back, we probably shouldn't have. Just for practicality reasons, like as Maureen said, it has everything we need, but it's just kind of there's more uses for it than what we're using it for, and that's probably that, and the downstairs bathroom as well. Just. Probably we didn't think through the layout of it properly, and it's certain things it's a bit tight in certain areas, like our towel radiator is kind of squashed up against our vanity unit, and just things like that I kind of would have thought through. Yeah, I would have thought through it probably better.
Yeah,
and then there's another thing is, in this house there's a lot of steel, and we didn't know it because they actually designed the house and included a lot of steel, but we didn't know how much steel would cost. When the actual builder looked at the plans, he said to us, had you not had that many steel and pushed the upstairs to match the size of the downstairs house, it would have cost you the exact same amount of money. So we would have had a bigger house, but for the same price. Because okay, you don't spend the money on the sale, but you have to spend it on more tiles and more blocks.
Yeah.
But it costed the same amount of money. And I think maybe that would have been
better. Yeah.
Just, it would have allowed us anyway to have this bigger utility, and we could rearrange the upstairs to be wider. Not that there's a need for the upstairs to be wider, but it was more for the utility room and the downstairs bathroom.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Yeah. But saying that, then you might have lost your VLUX, or you might have lost a bit
that
of
is the other thing.
Design thing. You know what I mean?
So exactly.
What are you under, you know? It's
exactly,
it's
yeah.
a hard one. Okay, well, one of the things that I love asking, and it's one of my favorite questions, is do you think that this is your forever home?
Yes.
Oh yeah, I'm not doing it again.
Too stressful.
Yeah.
No, it is definitely our forever home. There'll definitely be like improvements, and there'll be extensions made at some stage, but it is our forever home. Don't worry.
It's down
the lane.
Yeah. No, 100%. Well, like, it's like, to me, this is my ideal location for my house. Like, so yeah, I wouldn't be going building a house somewhere else, but yeah, no, there's always things, like, you know, we've an office now, but if that office ever needs to be a bedroom, then we have to go and find an office somewhere else. Because, to be honest, I think our work, we're always going to be working from home, I think. So there will be areas that we will probably change, or I hope there's not too many, but yeah, there will be areas,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it's interesting. So when did you actually move in? When was that?
It was 2 weeks into June.
Yeah.
So it was mid-June.
It was around the 15th or 16th of June, I think.
Okay.
We had to wait till month-end was over with work.
Yeah. To wait till what?
Month-end.
Yeah, so for our work, we're very busy the first 2 weeks of each month.
Okay.
And then we're kind of not as busy for the last 2 weeks. So we couldn't move in for the first 2 weeks because we just didn't have time. We were too busy.
Yeah.
Right.
So the minute that finished, then we got stuck into moving.
Oh, okay.
In.
That's really interesting, actually, that your work dictated when you
yeah.
did your home.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Okay, so I want you to take a moment now and just think about this.
Yeah.
So it's what day of the week was it, do you remember?
This is part of the reason why we were rushing, because I was told you can't move in on a Friday. So we were planning on moving in on the Saturday.
So
and
we went in Friday night and started,
because
like,
someone
the house.
Told me that week that, no, you're actually wrong. It's, you don't move in on a Saturday, you move in on a Friday. So we had to, like, myself and Maureen slept upstairs in the house when the rest of it wasn't ready, just so that it wasn't, the Saturday wasn't our first night in the house. Like, but yeah, it was the Friday. I'm not sure exactly the date.
So what I'm trying to get at is, like, what was it like? What was that moment like when you woke up? What did you say to me?
I don't even think I slept the whole night. It was just such a weird evening. Like, we were so exhausted. We had spent like like 6 or 7 hours straight trying to like clean, and you and your dad were hanging like curtains. It was just mad. So we went to bed. It was like, what, 2 a.m. in the morning. And we were like so like excited to go to bed, but at the same time, like, I was panicking. I knew, like, there was still so much to be done. All I was thinking about is, oh, the hallway is a mess. There's like boxes everywhere.
Yeah.
So I think when we woke up in the morning, we were like, now we have to keep going. Like, we have to go downstairs and like keep at it.
Yeah.
But
it was nice though, that feeling coming down the stairs, opening the kitchen door and just looking at our kitchen. Even though a lot of the furniture wasn't in, but just going like, okay, this is our house now.
This is it, like, yeah.
Was. It was a funny feeling, all right.
it's what I love asking, because it's for some people that are behind you in the journey, it can nearly feel like it's never going to end.
Yeah.
You know, especially towards the end of a build, it just feels like it's just going to go on forever. So to hear you saying that, it's really inspiring.
Yeah.
It happens very quick at DN, actually.
No,
like,
it does. Yeah.
You wait so long for it, and then when it's the moment to move in, it's like it happens, and you click a finger, and then that's it. Like,
the one thing I'd say for us, probably because we had so much of our furnishings bought already, so we obviously wanted to get them in the house. It probably wasn't the first night we slept there, probably wasn't when we properly felt like
we were home. Like,
yeah, like that we were comfortable.
Yeah.
It was kind of probably 4 or 5 days later when we could really kind of sit down and put our feet up and be like, everything was in place and we were like, okay, yeah, now it's our home. It was nice the first night waking up and coming down going, oh yeah, this is going to be our home, like, this is what it's going to be like. But to get that proper feeling was probably 4 or 5 days after we'd moved in.
Even like the first groceries, and the fridge was full of food.
Yeah.
And to think, oh my God, this is where I'm going to cook now. Like this, yeah. This is it.
Yeah. So what's next for the house? No house is ever finished. I know anybody would tell me that. What's next on the to-do list?
So architrave and skirting board need to be painted. So that's the really next one we probably need to do
for
very
me,
soon.
It's the outside, the garden, patio.
That too, yeah.
It was like looking at a jungle out the windows there for the last while. Yeah. So I just want to get those done at the minute. Yeah. They're next on my list anyway.
Brilliant. And do you think that when you're doing all these things, whatever, do you think that there'll be more things coming down the line that you haven't thought of? Like what I'm saying is, like, will there be any last minute changes, or will there be any things that you might be changing around, or any rooms that you might be reconsidering, or anything like that?
Not sure, no. There's definitely like things that we need to do in terms of like we want to get built-in units for the TVs and I think that's the two big things we want to do.
Yeah.
Get building units. So custom-made units for both TVs. In terms of room being like changing all that, at the minute I think we're happy enough with what we've done.
Most people say is like, I'm going to probably turn a bedroom into a home office, but you already have the office, so that probably won't happen.
Yeah.
So the last thing I ask is, and this is the very last question, is what is your one piece of advice for people that are sitting at home watching this or listening to this and they're thinking, I think we're about to build a house. What's your, like they're a really early stage. What's your one piece of advice that you give them?
Can I give two?
You can give two, Willie, just for you.
Well, I'm not sure what one Maureen would say. For me, the first one I would say is get a good mortgage broker. Because the start, trying to finalise your mortgage is stressful, and knowing what you need, there's a lot in it, like between local needs, stuff, getting letters from schools, the local parish priest, the football club, all those kind of things, to gather up all that information, all your work pay slips, your bank statements, get a good mortgage broker who just takes a lot of that stress and headache out of it. I know for us, our mortgage broker, I couldn't recommend him highly enough. And he just laid it out in an email saying, this is what you need for these dates.
Yeah.
We sent them on and he pretty much put our application together, got it sorted. And he's been with us the whole way through the build, whenever we needed him, any advice, even things like the Help to Buy scheme. Obviously you get that for bills as well, and things like that we weren't sure about, and he just told us what we need to do or how we need to do it. And then the other piece would be just keep going back over your plans, make sure that you're happy with them. Just even when, like, get as many people to look at them as you can, like, because everyone will pick out a different thing, like, oh no, don't, like, even simple things. Like, I remember with our house, I remember a friend of me telling me, like, oh, you have too many windows, you'll have nowhere to put your furniture. And it's kind of like you don't want to be putting your couch up against the window.
Yeah.
So you need a wall, to put your couch against. Just little things like that. I just keep going over your plans before you finalise them.
A really concrete them.
Maureen,
you mentioned one thing that we were off camera. We spoke about was sockets and the placements of electrical sockets. That to really think about them.
Oh, like switches. Go when you're in the house, when the blocks are in, and it's time to do mark out the electricity. Go through each rooms and turn the lights as if you were going to turn on and off the lights, because sometimes the electric sensors, they're really good at their job, but it's not their house and they don't necessarily think about your daily life. So you need to make sure you have a plug wherever you need a plug. Like if you want to put a decoration light, or even if you're in the bedroom, you have to think, where am I going to dry my hair? Mm. Like it's little things.
You mentioned one thing really interesting that I would never have thought of, was a light in the kitchen and you walk into the snug, but if you want to turn off the light, you have to walk all the way back over. Yeah. But that's such a simple thing.
Yeah.
When you're thinking about it, it makes total sense now that you've said it.
Exactly, you know? So, I would definitely, it's not something it's something you really need to be involved,
yeah.
and you really need to go through every room and do as if you were going to turn on, yeah. on and off the light and make sure you're happy where all the switches and plugs are. Like,
you need to pretend yeah. you're living in the house before yeah. you're living in the house. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just think of, just go through, like, try, it sounds weird, but think of a scenario where you're going from one room to the next yeah. and what you will do as you go from
and
one room to the next.
I'm making a cup of tea, I'm going yeah. to the yeah. fridge. And yeah, 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 yeah.
And
yeah.
in terms of, like, on the subject of, like, electricity and lights and all that, like, I think in terms of lights as well, like, sometimes electricians really push it, they push for spotlights, but sometimes you don't really need spotlights. If you have, like, a big panel light, and in terms of decoration as well, that's going to be the focus of your room. And that's going to be a lot of lighting. So you don't really need, like, I don't know, 10 spotlights. When you can have, like, one big pendant light, that's going to be your source of lighting.
Yeah.
Like, it's also money-saving because yeah. Yeah. spotlights can be quite expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And for the amount of time that you're going to turn them on, sometimes it's nicer to have, like, a mood lighting rather than, like, a yeah. big bright light in your face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So.
I just thought yeah. two more there.
Go on.
Sort out your air code as soon as possible. And sort out your ESB connection as soon as possible.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Just what? Get the ball rolling on both of them.
Yeah.
ESB can just drag out.
Take a long
trying
time.
To get the connection. It's just a long process. And then the air code, it's handy for deliveries, if, like, even to get it before you start, like for your deliveries of blocks and things like that, it's handy to have it. But then in terms of, like, something as simple as getting Wi-Fi, you need an air code, and it can just drag out as well, so I'd get on those two as soon as possible.
Yeah, because you were saying that they do it every quarter or something, and
yeah.
you're
yeah.
waiting for an air code. You can't
yeah.
get Wi-Fi without
it. Can't yeah. get the Wi-Fi, yeah. They only release them every quarter.
Yeah.
Wait, was that going to be your advice? Did it, like,
yes.
Okay.
Oh, what? Ah,
yeah.
sorry.
That's okay.
I don't
you stole it.
Yeah, guys, thank you so much. If it's okay with you guys, if people want to get in touch with you, where's
yeah.
the best place to find?
Instagram, so the Ryan's House.
The Ryan's House. And so
yeah.
I'll post it below anyways. But
perfect.
Cool. Guys, thank you so much. I really
no
appreciate
problem.
Your time. It's lovely speaking to people that are in their home, they're enjoying their home, and the home is so bloody finished. So yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. Don't forget to check out the guys on Instagram at the Ryan's House. I'll also post their details in the description below anyways. And if you haven't already, I would really, really appreciate it if you would consider leaving a review on whatever platform you're listening to this on. It'll cost you absolutely nothing and just helps us to get found and to help the podcast grow. Thanks, and hope to see you all next time.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.